Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, and began answering phones and filing at her dad's office at age 12. After earning a telecommunications degree from Michigan State University, she began a career in real estate. 23 years later, she's the number one real estate agent in Michigan, with nearly $50 million in real estate sales last year alone. Her name? Kathy Brooke Ballard. And we're honored to have her as our guest. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Kathy Brooke Ballard, the number one real estate agent in Michigan, with nearly $50 million in real estate sales last year alone. Kathy, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thank you. Honored to be here.
Can we start by talking about your mom and your dad and your childhood?
What can I say? Family, right? Well, I was raised by two amazing parents. I've been raised, and I'm still being raised, by two amazing parents, Bo and Joy Brooke, who also live in the same community that I live in Orchard Lake. And they instilled in me at a young age the need for independence. And I think that is the number one thing that my parents have taught me, besides values, of course, and ethics and integrity and all of the elements that make up a successful person. And love. I've had a lot of love in my life. My parents unfortunately lost a son when he was 9. I was 7.5 years old. And I think that also was an instrument to my ambitious nature and my passion for living, both, you know, in the work element and also in my social life as well. Work hard, play hard. They taught me that too.
They called you Kissy when you were young.
Oh, no.
Do they still call you that?
That and Tigger.
Okay.
Tigger, Kissy. Yeah, my Italian grandfather, whom I loved and adored, called me Kissy.
When they were mad at you, Kathy, what'd they call you?
Calf.
You're 12 years old, and you start working for your dad. Mm-hmm. Talk about that.
Well, the flagship office for Max Brooke was in downtown Birmingham. And my father, again, taught me that it's important to work. And so when I was 12, he said, Kathy, why don't you come on down to the Birmingham office and help me answer phones? So at age 12, I can't imagine what my voice really sounded like. He taught me how to lower my range and answer the phone. Good morning, Max Brooke Realtors. And back then it was the old switchboard system. So he taught me how to use a switchboard at age 12. And so I was answering phones on the weekends. And also back then we were not of the computer age, so everything was done by a filing system. And so I would work for agents. They would pay me directly. And I would work for agents filing their listing tickets. Back then, I mean, I think the most expensive house that was on the market was maybe $80,000 in Bloomfield Hills. So, but that's how I started working for my dad.
Looking back, Kath, what did those early days really teach you?
Oh, again, the whole element of independence. I worked through high school. And working through high school, I guess the whole idea of just taking care of yourself. The women in my family were strong women, and they always wanted me to be able to write my own check, and so pay my own bills and take care of myself. So I think it's really what it taught me. I mean, it's just that consistency of work ethic, and that I need to be responsible for myself.
When did you know you wanted to be in sales?
Oh, not till much later in life. My dad was never home. He worked 7 days a week. And back in the 50s, 60s, and even in the 70s, it was hands-on mostly because we didn't have computer technology. I mean, today we have iPads and Blackberries and all different sources of technology that enable us to leave the office and to spend time with our families. So when I was young, I never thought I would go into this business. Actually, I wanted to go into sports medicine because I was an athlete when I was young and sixth in the state for swimming, and wanted to do something physically with myself. And so I was gearing up towards that, but there wasn't an opportunity. I mean, I looked at schools. You could be a physical therapist, but they didn't have sports medicine like they do today. The opportunities were less. So I thought, well, what else do I really love to do? And at the time, I mean, I loved to sing. I loved advertising. I loved the film business. So I went to Michigan State and I created a multidisciplinary degree in telecommunications where I put business and other factors into it.
In studying through the years about sales, they say that salespeople sell three things and in a certain order. Number one is you sell yourself. Two, you sell your firm. And finally, the product or the service. Mm-hmm. How does one sell themselves?
I think you need to know yourself. I'm more than selling yourself. I think it comes with just confidence. I think if you hard sell yourself, people read that and that doesn't work. But in knowing when I wanted to go into the business, I will say when I was 27, 28 years old, I realized that legacy is important to me and my family was important to me. And that's when I decided to go into it when I was 28. But I think that selling yourself is, I just think that people know. I think it takes time to build trust. And I think trust is more about it than the actual selling of who you are. There are different elements of selling as well, because you can brand or you can market yourself in an advertorial way. But I think that mostly people are looking for trust.
There's a popular book in the last year or two, The Speed of Trust. Hmm. When you trust people, things get done so much quicker and easier, less confrontational, etc. We're talking to Kathy Brooke Ballard, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything is Possible. I'm Jack Krasula, and we're with Kathy Brooke Ballard, number one real estate agent in the state of Michigan. Kathy, what makes the difference between a great salesman and a good salesman?
Yeah, this is what we were just talking about, I think. I think that the element of trust and building strong relationships. A great salesman, I mean, there's so many books out there that teach you different methods of sales, but I think you either have it in your heart and it's something that you love to do, or you don't. And as the old saying goes, you know, do what you love and everything else will follow. Well, I'm more of I guide. And I think that the difference between a salesperson and somebody who works in the industry, sales industry, I don't sell. I guide. And I help people make right decisions. Okay, if I feel that they're heading down a wrong path or there's a financial issue that I need to be concerned about, I address that. Right. I mean, selling homes is different than selling a car, because it is your home. It's the American dream. You are raising your family. It's something that it's the largest investment that you'll make. It is it's where you raise your family and have company. And so the idea of sales is different. It's really more of a guidance. And I think that if more realtors would guide people instead of pushing them, they might see a difference in the results.
Every great salesperson that I've ever gotten to know was a great listener. Mm-hmm. Talk to us, Kathy, about listening.
Well, it's interesting, and I agree. There's, again, the great salesperson or the average salesperson. Most people talk too much. And actually, I think my husband is the one person who's helped me in that department. And ask a question and be quiet. And listen to the answer. Not what you want to hear, but what the answer is. I have a form that buyers fill out and we sit down and we review multiple elements of purchasing a home. And it's not just bricks and mortar, and I want to know about their lives. Do they have children? Is education important to them? What type of community service are they involved with? How can I help them get engaged in the community? So that, again, getting back to what makes a successful person, is the listening part. You need to know what it is that your people, that the buyers or sellers' main objective is. And it's not just the bricks and mortar.
We're talking to Kathy Brook Ballard, who is in the top 100th of 1% of the real estate agents in America. Getting to be the best is extremely tough. Remaining the best, Kath, is even harder. You were number one last year in the state. How do you stay number one?
A lot of hard work. And some luck, because just this year, I have a list of deals that have not come to fruition just because buyers and sellers weren't ready. And I mean, it's out of your control. And so you just don't know. I mean, it's always hard to stay on the top. And my husband and I always say it's almost better to be 2 and 3 because you have something to strive for. But I just keep working. I don't look at my numbers though, Jack. That's the other thing. I don't pay attention to where I fall. And that's the one thing my manager has always asked me, why don't you care? And I've said, because that's not what I'm here for. I am here to guide and put people in homes and get the results done. Wherever that ends is where it ends. And I'm blessed. I'm very fortunate to have this wonderful honor of being the top producer in Michigan. And especially as a female, I mean, this business has turned around and it's become very competitive with the male gender, which I'm happy about, because it's not just the part-time housewife, you know, philosophy anymore. It's a real career.
Ross Perot, one of the sayings is, it's a strange phenomenon in that oftentimes when a person gets successful, they quit doing the very things that made them successful. Kath, why should someone use you and your team to buy and or sell a home?
Well, thanks for asking that question. Because we're constantly reinventing ourselves. If what I have found is sitting on your laurels, you're right. You may end up at the bottom because you expect things to happen. Well, I don't expect things to happen. I expect things out of me. I expect things out of my team, which I have. I have a wonderful team of people. I have a gal, Carmela Vitale, who's been with me for almost 10 years and is the most loyal, dedicated, trusting person I know. And having somebody in my business with you that long, the attrition is very high because it's a stressful business. And it's extremely volatile. I mean, you just don't know. Spontaneous. There's not a lot of consistency because of the fact that deals come, they go. Buyers may not get approved. So it's a tough job for Carmela, but she's been amazing. I also have an amazing buyer's agent. Her name is Helen Reisner. She's just a phenomenal, again, and trusting person. And so she's a part of my team. I've developed a marketing group within my own organization, Kathy Brook Realtors, and it's just reinventing the web, your blogging, your internet work, your international outreach. You're doing everything. I mean, I have an iPad that is my lifeline now, and now I have to get the iPad too. I mean, it's always changing.
If you want to contact her, Kathy, Kathy, at Max Brook, Brook Homes. .com.
Thanks, Jack.
Your business, it's like a 50-piece puzzle. And if all 50 pieces don't come together, you don't have the deal. And you can do everything right and one piece falls off. So there's a lot of setbacks. Talk to us about overcoming setbacks.
The thick skin I don't have yet, I will tell you. And I don't want a thick skin. So I think staying sensitive and empathetic and compassionate about each and every deal is important. Whether it's a $50,000 home or a $5 million home, it doesn't matter to me. I feel the same way about, I just had a deal that failed, that the buyer walked because of the inspection, and it's just such a detailed inspection. And it hurt me just as bad as losing a $1 million deal, because you work just as hard. And you hope that buyer is going to move into that home, because you want it to be a home, especially all these vacant homes around.
Describe the real estate business today.
It's improving, that's for sure. I think we were the first to hit bottom nationally, and we're the first to rebound. If we look at General Motors and what's happening with the organization and Ford, they're doing so well. And so are all the suppliers are also doing better. So when you start seeing people moving in and executives starting to purchase, you know that there is a stronger foothold in our community. I just received an offer from an executive from one of the automotive companies who was actually supposed to rent. They wanted him to rent. And he said, nope, I'm going to buy. Now, I think that that is a phenomenal philosophy for him to take, because what ends up happening is there's the whole buy-in philosophy. Well, if Daimler and Ford and Chrysler and Detroit Diesel and all these other companies are buying into staying in Michigan, well, then that gives us some stability.
How much has the average price come down in the last 4 years?
Oh, boy. It varies, because there are some communities that have been hit severely with foreclosures. Values down 40 to 50%. There are other communities where it's actually rebounding, and you've seen a 10 to 15% increase in value. So there are some communities that are coming back strong.
We're talking to Kathy Brook Ballard. When we come back, we'll ask her, what makes a house a home? And I'm Jack Rasulin, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything is Possible, and I'm your host, Jack Krasula, and we're with Kathy Brook Ballard, who began answering phones and filing at her dad's office at age 12. Kath, what makes a house a home?
The people in it. I think that, again, we're blessed to have the American dream, and that is the ability for home purchasing. And a home is a, and there's a difference, because when you do show a home that is vacant, it feels vacant. No furniture, no life. I mean, a home is where you raise your children, where you entertain, it's where you hang your hat. It's the lifestyle. It's where you have your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. What does a home mean to a woman?
Wow. That's a good question. Well, it's interesting, because when I show homes, it is the woman who ultimately makes the decision. And it's usually based on the kitchen and the closet. And then for the man, it's the garage. But it's for a woman, I think it's her kitchen, it's her hearth, it's where she hangs, it's where her family is. And I think that's really what makes a home for a woman.
What suggestions do you have for a listener who wants to sell a home today?
Well, thank goodness for HGTV and for our reality shows, because I think they've done a very good job educating sellers on what to do and what not to do. Now, some people can't afford to go and do a full remake or redo, but I think the most important thing is decluttering and making sure that personal items are, you know, photos and things like that are put away, so that whoever enters your home, it feels like their home. But decluttering is very important. Touching up with paint, cleaning your carpets, cleaning your windows. There is nothing I think, harder for a woman to look past than somebody else's stuff and uncleanliness. I think that if it's clean, even if it's not updated, that it shows well.
What suggestions to somebody who wants to buy a home today?
Pre-approval. That's my first and foremost. Go and meet with your financial consultant. Go and meet with a bank. Make sure that you're in a comfort zone and in a range that is comfortable for you, not just your monthly payment, but the whole thing. Like, we, you know, we've talked before, Jack, you and I, about the business aspect of purchasing homes and just being in the business of real estate. And it's as, my job is as important as your financial consultant's job is to a family or to an individual, because we need to know that you can afford this house and that you're not overstretching, that we're not going to closing and wondering where we're going to get, you know, that first down payment. So the pre-approval process, I think, is the most important for a buyer. And then location. My great-grandfather and my grandfather always said, location, location, location. So we go location scouting first. So we get the pre-approval, then we go location scouting, because finding out where you're, where you'd like to be, and your community, what's in your community, is as important as the house itself.
We're talking to Kathy Brooke Ballard. If you want to reach her, Kathy, K-A-T-H-Y, at Max Brooke, B-R-O-O-C-K, homes.com. Kathy, if you go to your website, it says top producer at Max Brooke, engaged energy. What do you mean by engaged energy?
Well, about 7 years ago, I hired somebody to assess me and look at me and say, you know, I wanted somebody else's perception of me. Okay, because I think that's, someone else's perception is more than my, is more important than my perception of myself. And what she came out with was high energy, focus, directed, enthusiastic, trustworthy. These were all the words that she put down. But then we consolidated, and she said, I see you as engaged energy. It's not effortless energy. And so that's where engaged energy came from.
God has blessed you with a lot of great traits. One of them is laughter. Talk to us about the value of laughter.
Well, I married my husband because of his laughter, so that's how important it is to me. We laugh a lot in our family, and I found through the years that you can always overcome adversity with a good chuckle, and that don't take life too seriously, because if you do, others will. And so I think that it's just important. I always find the humor in something. Now, granted, not everything is humorous, but don't take life too seriously. And I think that that's what I've decided to do in my life.
Another trait you have is optimism. Mm-hmm. God knows we all need optimism today. Talk about optimism.
Well, again, I think this goes back to childhood. I had a great childhood, not without adversity, because as we've talked, Jack, you know, I lost my older brother when he was 9 and I was 7 and a half. Well, I mean, getting a little personal, you know, I found my brother, and it was at that moment in time that I subconsciously said, wow, this could happen to anybody. And so from that point on, I became infected with life. And whether I worked hard or I played hard or I love to eat, I love to exercise, I love my yoga, as you know, I do a lot of yoga, which is my spiritual outreach, my spiritual release, and physical release as well. But I think that, you know, you learn through life, and if you don't learn from your experiences and become enthusiastic and look at the good side of things, then I think you just end up, you know, pointing fingers at people, and you know the causes are from somebody else, and I don't think we need to be that way.
We're talking to Kathy Brooke Ballard. Kathy, if there's a listener tonight that has just lost a child, what do you say to them?
First, I'm so sorry. I do have a friend whose sister actually was just killed on Friday. And I wrote him a note and I said, you know, I'm I just can sincerely empathize with you. I know the feeling, and empathy is, again, I'd mentioned it earlier, a huge part of life, compassion. And, but you don't know what it's like unless you experience something firsthand. But there is tomorrow, and you just have to take each day at a time, because there are things in life that will bring you joy, even though that this is the time of terrible sorrow.
You've been blessed with great enthusiasm, Kathy. How does one get enthusiasm?
I don't know. I think it's a part of you. I have three daughters, and they could not be more different. No matter how much I say, put a fire under your belly, or, you know, get up, you got to go, you know, grab that and go for it. You are kind of who you are. I mean, you're. It doesn't mean that you can't change. I just saw a movie last night, and it was really quite funny. It was inappropriate, most of the movie, but there was so much humor in it that I loved it. And this girl was downtrodden, and everything bad was happening to her. And this other girl grabbed her and said, "Are you kidding me? Take charge of your life. This is crazy." Well, I think enthusiasm, though, is it's something. I think you're born with it, but I also think you can acquire it. You just have to want it. It's desire. It's the desire for life, and set goals, because I think goals are what create enthusiasm. If you don't have goals, then I think you're stagnant.
They say that what you look like at 20 is God's gift to you. What you look like at 60 is your gift to God. And as I look at people who are older, who are still very young, you know, energetic, one thing they have in common is they're appreciative. Mm-hmm. And you've stayed appreciative. Talk about appreciative.
That's a great word. It's a great concept, too. I don't take things for granted. And again, but we can go back to my life and look at the reasons why I don't. But some people could have taken those unfortunate circumstances and dug a hole and turned to alternative methods to survive. Well, I didn't. So I'm appreciative, and I tell my children again every day, this minute is now. And we'll be talking, and 2 minutes or 3 minutes goes by, and I'll say, "Do you see 3 minutes just passed? You have to enjoy this moment." I think appreciation is just, again, we all have to be thankful for our health and our families. And
we're talking to Kathy Brooke Ballard. When we come back, we'll ask her about the art of negotiation. And I'm Jack Russell, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Kathy Brooke Ballard, the number one real estate agent in Michigan. Kathy, talk to us, if you will, about the art of negotiation.
Well, I think I think about the 5-minute sales manager, all the books that have been out there through the years, and the book, The Art of Negotiating, and Jack Welch's book. I mean, there are so many tools to, you know, help in today's world on how to be a good negotiator. But I think, again, the number one thing is the trust between the parties, because with buyer's agency and with seller's agency, you know, we have an environment that creates an adversarial relationship right off the top. 10 years ago, we didn't really have buyer's agency. And so everybody was always working for the seller, and the seller was, of course, the party paying the commission, and still is the party predominantly paying the commission. So the most important thing is remembering that let's not go into this being adversarial. As a buyer's agent, let's not go into this being adversarial. We all want the same objective. We want to sell a home. Again, it's a home, right? Not a house. It's a home. So what do we need to do to get these two parties to understand the value? Number one, because I think that that's as important, because sellers over the past 3 years have been, you know, it's just been just, you know, destructive to them personally and financially. And so that has to be done up front with sellers, to give them ranges to say, okay, I know that this is really where we want it to sell, but the reality is it may be this. Don't tell them what they want to hear. because you need to prepare them for what may happen. And that's the beginning of the ability to close a sale, is working with that seller if you're a lister. And as a buyer's agent, it's the same. Not every buyer is going to get a foreclosure price, because not every house is listed as a foreclosure. So I think as a buyer's agent, it's extremely important to sit down with the buyer and say, no, look, these houses have already been corrected by 40%. These prices are 40% down. Okay, so we're already coming in. So if we're coming in 20% below, you're expecting this to be a foreclosure property. It just may not be. So I think you need to do a lot of education. And again, guidance. That was the word that I, the philosophy that I discussed earlier, was guiding your sellers and guiding your buyers. And then it takes out that adversarial element.
In the last 30 years or so, women have become very successful in sales.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Are women so successful in sales?
Compassion. It's what it is. I think, and again, I can't speak for car sales or corporate sales, because it's not my venue, and I don't really know that type of business. But in real estate, it was a man's business, though, remember, up until about mid-70s, late-70s. And my grandfather, Ferd, out of the Birmingham office, he was out of the Birmingham office at the time, you know, had strict dress code for women. And women were definitely discriminated against back in the 60s. Once that, the discrimination element started subsiding, it just opened up the door for that ability for women to communicate. And women are good listeners. And if you go to a women's bridge group or a cocktail party, you always walk away with a lot of information from women, right? And so women like working with women. And that is how I think the real estate business became so successful for women, because the women can go out during the day, go out with the woman, go look at houses during the day, bring their husband back in for the second or third showing. So it's become more of an engaged environment for the women in the transaction.
Your great-grandfather started the business, mm-hmm. so you're fourth generation.
Mm-hmm.
You and your husband, Bruce, mm-hmm. are trying to teach your three daughters to be hard workers rather than affluenza.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to parents today about teaching their kids to have a great work ethic.
Well, I've always said that you have to learn by, it's do as I do, not necessarily as I say, also, that philosophy. Because I believe that my actions speak words to my children. I get up, I have a day that's calendared, it's scheduled. I make a lot of time for my children. They are my number one priority, and they know it. But they also know that I have commitments and I have responsibilities. And I think that in itself is an educator. So, for example, my children are still fairly young, 14, 13, and 11. And I have not expected them to work as my father expected me to work. But that's because their education is first and foremost. And so from September until June, their job is to come home and do the best they can and get good grades and participate in sports and school and extracurricular activities. I also do a lot of charity work, Jack, and that's the other element. You know, you have this work ethic, but you also have to be able to give back to the community. And I think that I just did an event called the Aaron Go Bra. I called it the Aaron Go Bra event, and it was a party that I had. I invited 200 women, and my children were involved with it last year because I was able to do it at night on St. Patrick's Day. But this year, we ended up getting about 160 bras and distributing them to a shelter in Detroit. So my children are not only learning a work ethic, but they're also learning a community service ethic as well, that you can't just take, you have to give back. And so I think it's more about it's not just my saying, it's my doing.
If there's a single mom out there tonight, mm-hmm. who knows she should have tough love with the kids, mm-hmm. but it's so hard for her to have tough love.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to overcompensate. What advice do you give her?
You're not doing them a favor by not having the tough love. It's hard, I'm sure, being a single parent. And I do feel for women who are in that position. But I think that if I can say to women, follow through with what you say you're going to do. It's so important to them in the future because you are their role model. And you know, I don't know how their father is or is not in their life, because I know we have widows, you know, we have divorces, but really your role as a mother is not to enable them. It's to encourage them.
I've often heard, Kathy, that you learn more from your failures than you do from your successes.
Oh, I have fallen so many times. Oh, you know, again, this goes back to being an athlete too, though. I think that if you can teach your children or yourself to, you know, try a sport, go do something that is risk-taking. So you may fail. So that's okay. Who are you trying to prove something to? See, I don't sell real estate to prove anything to anyone. I mean, people say your dad is so proud of you. And I said, yeah, my dad is proud of me. But I'm not doing this for him to be proud of me. I think that, we all need to have, again, going back to goals, I think we all need to make sure that we have our own personal goals.
Last question as our time winds down tonight. What advice would you give to our young listeners this evening?
Oh, gosh. A lot. I think young people are so distracted today with television, with the computers, with technology. I would get away from all of that activity and try and set goals for yourself. Make sure, get outside, get engaged with nature, you know, work at a community service, you know, find something you love to do and stay busy. Because I think that, as the old saying goes, an inactive mind or an idle mind is a waste. And you end up doing things that you probably shouldn't be doing in idle time.
Kissing, you've come a long, long way.
Thank you.
Keep up the great work. Keep making all of us proud. And thanks for all the help you give to this community.
I appreciate it, Jack.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. It's possible.